Good morning, everyone. John Huckenberry here, back once again after more than two weeks off, right? It's an interesting perspective to view the world after so much news in the moments leading up to when I departed for 2 weeks. Celeste is out for another day or so. I guess her voice is a little scratchy. We are wishing the best for her. But with the perspective of 2 weeks off and watching the developments in Egypt, Libya, Oman, and Bahrain, you know, it's as though there's a reshuffling of ideas going on in the world right now. Discredited leaders may go, but does democracy replace those leaders? And what leadership is necessary to make it from democracy or from dictatorship to democracy? The Middle East is struggling with this question, but perhaps so are we in the self-assured democratic America. I mean, look at the strident stalemate going on in Wisconsin that dominated the news all for the last 2 weeks, or the trivial-seeming dare and double dare of a government shutdown in Washington. Leadership? Democracy? What are the models, and are new ones being created? Joining us once again is Pauline Mayer, professor of American history at MIT, author of Ratification, The People Debate the Constitution, 1787 to 1788. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I'm wondering if, in light of what's happened in the last couple of weeks, if you are seeing new models for, you know, holding out, you know, fighting for freedom in the streets of some of these Middle Eastern capitals that rival or compare favorably with the hero stories that we know from the time of the U.S. Constitution.
Oh, absolutely. This is all very exciting. And so far as I can tell, unanticipated, even by experts on the region. And that it's a whole different narrative. And I think that the president, Obama, has had the intelligence to recognize that right on, that we weren't continuing our old conflict with al-Qaeda, that this is a whole new narrative. Something very different seems to be going on.
Yeah, I mean, Muammar Gaddafi is defending al-Qaeda by accusing al-Qaeda of being responsible for bringing drugs into Libya. Al-Qaeda and Gaddafi are in the same category there. The world has certainly changed.
He sounds really crazy, you know.
Well, what does this do to cause perhaps us in the United States to reexamine our sense of complacency about, well, we're democratic, our models are solid, they're 230 years old perhaps, but do we need to do some reexamination here in the United States as we look at the crisis of leadership going on in Wisconsin, or the perennial debate over government shutdown taking place in Washington?
Well, it seems to me we have plenty of reason to think about our democracy and to worry about it. I mean, at a point where members of Congress can't even read the bills that they're passing, and where they're written and often by lobbyists and so on, there's something very different, a major evolution in terms of our representative system, which seems to me to require more reexamination than we're giving it. But I'm not really concerned about these events in Wisconsin or Indiana in that regard. It seems to me, you know, we have protesters. The governors aren't turning the army or the National Guard against them. This is part of democracy. People are upset. They're making their will known.
You know, one of the tensions I've seen in the Middle East, and it's a narrative certainly in the United States, that there is a tension between the need for leadership, a single individual, male or female. We're going to talk about some of the interesting characters in England later on in the hour, mm-hmm. Who are women. But there's a tension between the leadership that brings a people from point A to point B and the idea of embracing democracy. You may want leadership, but the leader isn't necessarily going to take you to a democratic path, right?
That's true, and that's why there's so much tension over what's going on in the Middle East, because the infrastructure for a democratic society doesn't pre-exist. In the United States, in the American Revolution, we did. I mean, we had elected institutions. The legislatures segued very neatly from being regular institutions to being revolutionary institutions and taking over authority. And then they elected the Continental Congress. So, I mean, we had habits. We had institutions in place.
But Pauline Mayer, the story doesn't end there.
And they don't exist. They don't exist in the Middle East.
But out of those institutions that we, you know, look at so confidently from the perspective of history, you know, we ended up electing Andrew Jackson, who was responsible for tremendous brutality against the Native Americans and the sort of manifest destiny idea that America owned pretty much the North American continent back when that was not really an issue.
In retrospect, you know, we can be very embarrassed by certainly by the treatment of the American Indians. But are you confident it didn't have the support of a good part of the American population at the time?
Well, I agree. No, yeah. I think what the Andrew Jackson situation suggests, and you know, I'm not trying to be some sort of lefty here bashing America for no particular reason. I mean, I think the issue is there are many twists and turns to what voters can ask for in their leaders, and they don't necessarily always lead straight to democracy. And I'm reminded of many statements about Islamists and radicals in the Middle East that might be, you know, sort of an intermediate scene here.
Well, you know, democracy doesn't always say what we wish it would say. I think probably that Andrew Jackson's reprehensible policy toward the Indians had a substantial amount of popular support. Of course, he was paying no attention to the Supreme Court, and this is a whole other issue. But with regard to the Middle East, you know, although they don't have this a democratic infrastructure,
right.
I mean, systematically, it has been taken apart at any point where it developed, where opposition groups began to form, the members were arrested. This was part of the despotism that they were dealing with. But they do have educated people. They have doctors, they have lawyers, they have engineers, and they're active in the protest movements. So to some extent, they do have the makings of a founding generation, and they have the example of other countries.
Well, and indeed,
so
that's the story.
If they're not in place now, they can be created. The possibilities are there, but of course there are possibilities that could all go terribly wrong, too.
Well, and democracy is about choices, and it depends on what the people choose. But as far as the educated population is concerned, that's exactly the story that you tell in Ratification. The people debate the Constitution, and educated American colonial populace debated democracy and came up with the Constitution that still stands today. Pauline Mair, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Pauline Mair is professor of American history at MIT, thinking about or rethinking about American democracy in light of all the changes taking place in the Middle East.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.